Welcome to the inquiry session together. The purpose is for wisdom, understanding, and insight for all. So the invitation is for one of you to come with a question, an important question, a question that's come or emerged through practice, through your inquiry, or it may be an issue in your life. And just a reminder that those listening are, of course, very much part of the process, very much contributing by your attention, your presence, and quality of very respectful listening. It takes sometimes a little effort to keep the attention focused and also to see and understand and watch the inner responses of the heart and mind that occur as you listen. I'm aware that yesterday there were some people who raised their hands and I didn't actually get to do all of the inquiries. So first of all, do you still have a question? Okay. Was there anyone else who wanted to come yesterday and was overlooked? Ah, okay. All right. So the inquiry is open for all, so please come. I was just saying to Sandhya that Israel is the only place where there's no hesitation to come up the front to do inquiries. In fact, sometimes there's more than one person, and when I was here 3 years ago, there was actually a race to the front, a sprint to the front, to come up here.
That's funny. Not from Israel, but...
Oh, okay! But you're here anyway.
Thank you all for being such gracious hosts, and the translations have been phenomenal, so I really appreciate that.
Yes, I echo that. I'm very grateful for the translation. Please, go ahead. What's your question?
So, the first day you said something that I can't seem to shake from my head. You said that when we're mindful, we have to put all grief about sufferings of the world aside. And I understand that, you know, in order to be present focused, in order to be grounded in what's here and now, in order to see ourselves more truly and fully, we have to step aside from the external world. We have to step aside from what's going on in the world, whether it be war or poverty or the list goes on, or hunger, or et cetera, et cetera. But also whether it be just, you know, our families, our friends, and whatever. And it seems to me that, you know, on some level, coming to a Vipassana retreat is selfish, because we are, for a week, leaving the world behind to just be with ourselves. So my question is, when is enough enough? When should we stop being mindful? And when should we take on some problems, either actively by, you know, signing up for a non-profit or something smaller, just being with our family and friends and making sure that they're not suffering by our very presence with them. So either actively or passively, when do we kind of snap out of it?
Excellent question. So the direction from from the Satipatthana Sutta is to be mindful of the body, the feelings, the mind states, and the Dhamma. But initially, to put aside desire and discontent and grief for the world. Initially, this is the direction. So when you did that, what happened? At least I hope you did that.
I did do that.
And yes.
I felt amazing and I feel amazing. It's been an unbelievable experience.
Okay. Say a little more about the amazing bit. The part where you put aside, just for now, the grief for the world, put aside desire, and all the things we are unhappy with in this life, and there's many, of course. And just be with present moment experience, be with all that occurs in the body, the feeling world, the mind, and also the world of the Dharma, the world of the teachings. What happens?
It's like you,
I say I.
It's like I escape into this vacuum, this void of, just being, just existing, and a deep contentedness with that existence.
Yes. Yes. So we access a deep contentedness. A contentedness that isn't dependent, upon the conditions of the world. Then, of course, what occurs? A question has arisen.
Yeah, this inescapable question arises.
Yes.
But it really hasn't been a problem. I jotted it in my notebook and I moved on, and during the meditations I continued to meditate and I felt like I was able to put that aside, to come back to that place.
Okay. I think we need to honor the questions that arise in our meditation practice. And this question is relevant. So it's, how can I, with this contentment and peace that I've discovered, engage with the world of suffering and sorrow, war and conflict, with wisdom, isn't it? This is a question. It's the question for every one of us in this room. Because peace and truth are not personal, they're not for ourselves. When we touch the heart of peace and truth, that care is for all beings. Is it not?
Sounds like the truth.
Ah, now I can hear a voice of doubt.
No, it sounds...
Okay. The Buddha said, don't believe a teacher because it sounds like the truth. Okay? I want you to come to the knowing within you. And the question has arisen for you. How can I engage with the world? How can I be with the whole of life? And not be self-centered, not just be in my little vacuum of peace that I can find on the cushion. And Dharma teaches us, the teachings point to care, concern, liberation and peace for all beings, no matter what their nationality, their beliefs, their country, their gender, where they come from. Okay, so in yourself, how could this contentment be expressed? How could your voice of truth, your voice of peace, find expression in this world of ours, which is desperately needing the voices of wisdom, the voices of truth, and care, and compassion, and tolerance?
I think there was a great inquiry the other day, and, you know, when you open your heart up to love and compassion, then you face family and friends with compassion and love, and instead of expressing frustration at them, you know,
So let's move to you. Yes, you got it.
I would.
So in your life, what area needs attention?
That's part of the problem, I suppose, is I think that I can, or there have been times where I have been able to funnel that contentedness and that serenity into my relationships with people, and it's been amazing. But then there's also that nagging that it's not enough just being with family and friends and people, and there's a nagging that there should be more, that needs to be more expansive, this expression of compassion. So.
You. Yes. Okay. So, you feel the voice of compassion. I can hear it. So it's not enough just to be loving and kind to our family and friends. I agree. So, it's wonderful that you can be loving and kind to your family and friends, of course, and please continue to do so. So I'm hearing a yearning for something more, some engaged action or some contribution in this world. So just searching yourself now. How can your voice of peace be expressed? In what form?
I'm not sure. I do not know.
You're expressing it now, I think.
How so?
You're saying there's more to do. There's more for those of us who are Dharma practitioners to do than to be loving just to our own family and friends. You're saying there's more action that's required as a response to this world we live in. You're hearing your own voice of compassion and love. You're hearing also a thought that says, what I'm doing is not enough. And sometimes when we have this thought, it's precious. We need to honor it. We need to explore. Okay. This is what I feel deeply. So let's do it. Let's explore. In the past, what kinds of things have you done with people to express this voice of care and compassion?
I don't know. This whole thing seems pretty self-gratifying now, but...
Well, take the self out of it. Compassion has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with the self. Nothing to do with our ego. Compassion is love in action, and it's selfless. This is the voice to listen to. Not I need my be so compassionate. Okay.
In the past,
yes,
just being with family and friends in a loving way when that compassion arises.
Okay. So what sort of work do you do?
I just graduated from school, so that's kind of the search.
Okay.
Why I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. And where do you usually live?
New York.
Okay. And what did you graduate from school or university?
university.
And the subject was? What did you study?
I studied public policy, so okay. Economic statistics.
Yes. But, okay. But?
But I do not intend to, or I do not intend to follow that career path.
Okay. So that much is clear. Wonderful.
Or I don't know. I have
you
no idea.
Okay. Okay. So right now, I know there's a whole lot of people looking at you, and we can tend to be a bit self-conscious up here, but if you can, right now, just listen inwardly, put the question, is there something that I'm called to do?
So, I think there's something to be said for organic farming, food process, more natural living. Definitely, so that's been a consideration, going to try to learn how to become more sustainable and spread that kind of awareness. But there's also, I don't know if that's enough. Like, for example, spreading this idea of awakening itself. You do, maybe is more profound than just, you know, farming. Or peace, justice, relationships between people, social justice. There's just, it just goes on, you know, there's one thought, and then another, and then, what do you do? There's just so much to...
So the question is, what shall I do in the world? Where shall I focus my attention? And well done for asking it.
Okay.
Now, right now, it seems that your mind is ranging over a vast number of possibilities. The kind of listening that's required is a deeper inward listening. Okay? You may not know at this point. And it's so interesting. We can have all sorts of plans about our life. We can choose particular lifestyles. And then something else comes along and our life unfolds in a way that we could never plan it, actually. So being receptive, being open, being true to this process of inquiring, looking, seeing is precious. What comes now? Is there one thing you could do when you leave here that is an expression of compassion? When you leave this retreat, it can be a simple thing. What will you do? I want to do one thing.
I'll probably give my mother a call who, probably freaking out that I have not talked to her.
Okay,
or she knows I'm here. So
I'll call Mum. And what will you say to your mother? Oh, sorry, Mum. My career is finished. that economics degree you paid for is a waste of time.
That's exactly.
I'm going to become a farmer in Israel. And I've just become a vegan. And and I've discovered this thing called Dharma.
This is the story of my
all
life.
About peace, love, and freedom.
Just hit the spot. That's exactly what's been going on. So my mother thinks that I'm here being brainwashed. And so I'll call her with some semblance of just normalcy or conventional normalcy and be like,
try to pretend that nothing's happened.
Where does she know?
Okay. So you try to reassure your mother that you're actually okay, you can still think. How could you show your mother that you're actually okay? What would show her that you're okay? You can see the peace and love.
I don't know. Just talk to her normally.
And what would you say to your mom? What would you tell your mother?
I don't know, just whatever pops into my head at that moment. Hey mom.
Yeah, hey mom, what?
You should definitely try a Vipassana retreat. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, so can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
That rather than tell your mother that she should try a Vipassana retreat, because she may, or I don't know your mum, but she may or may not be open to this, perhaps just tell her how you are. Say, I'm fine, I'm in Israel. She may be worried for your safety. So some reassurance. What else?
Ask what's going on her end.
Yes! How are you? And when you ask her what's going on in her life, you're going to really listen. And perhaps listen in a way that you haven't before. What's your relationship like with your mum? What's the quality of the relationship?
Seems like it revolves around what's going on with me.
Yes.
Her worrying and me trying to tell her to stop worrying.
Yes.
It's pretty much the story.
Okay, so she worries about you, and you say, oh, Mom, stop worrying. Oh, how many people have this relationship with their lovers? So, the Dharma tells us, or, yeah, we can say it like that, tells us to treat people with kindness, compassion, care, listen deeply, all of those things. So, these are the things perhaps you can speak to your mother about. You can listen to her, relate to her, in a quite a conventional, ordinary way. Mum, how are you? What's happening? What have you been doing? My concern is that when you talk to her, you might be just a little spaced out, as you are now. Yes?
Yeah, I think I could follow through with
An ordinary conversation.
Right.
Where you let her know that she need not worry about you. And she'll know that she need not worry about you because you're being responsive. You're listening. You're able to have a conversation. And you're not being totally self-centered. It's not all about you. So this might be the first step. To learn to relate in the world where it's not all about us. So the me, the I, who sees and knows meditation, Dharma, understanding, love, compassion, the me, the I, is not in the middle of everything. So this is the practice. And when you talk to your mum, it's not all about you.
Right.
This would be acting lovingly rather than self-centeredly. So the conversation isn't all about you. Number one, is there anything that you've not said to your mother that you would love to say?
I don't know.
Do you ever tell your mother you love her?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, do you do that when you're on the phone?
Like at the end.
No. At the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's more of a spacey thing to say.
Okay. She'd think something was wrong with you if you said that. Okay. What is it you want to say to your mother, actually? Other than you should go and do this, Mum. Because I don't think that'll work. Okay. So you said, I've discovered something really valuable in my life. What else? You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. What's the relevance of if I just talk normally? Okay.
So, coming back to our theme, the question was, is just being with our own practice enough? Or do we need to find a way to express our wisdom and understanding in the world? Yes, we do need to find a way. And that way is sometimes with our parents, our family, who worry about us, care about us. But that way is also in the work that we do, in our actions in the world. And it seems to me that with conflict and trouble in the world, the voice of the engaged Buddhism is really needed, required. So the other area to look at for you is, how do I live? Do I live sustainably with all the environmental issues that are relevant on this planet of ours? Is there a way I can really live with wisdom? So that's one area, lifestyle. And the next is to see a little further into yourself. To really get to know yourself more. Is this your first retreat or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this is the very first retreat. And yes, I can see that you're absolutely thrilled with it, and that's wonderful. Yet there is more to discover. So I'd suggest you really get to know yourself rather deeply. So please come back. Please keep connected with the Sangha, the environment, the people here. There's a wonderful group of teachers here in Israel if you stay. Or if you go back to America, also in America, there's wonderful insight meditation teachers. So really keep connected. And then the way that you express your understanding will become more clear. Right now, you've just had a taste of peace and love, and you're slightly overwhelmed with it, and that's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see. It's a precious quality. But as you said so wisely, the next step is to meet the world true to that love and care, true to that wisdom and understanding, with actions that are wise and caring, and embrace the whole of our humanity. So to express the human heart in its fullness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, anybody? Don't let fear stop you. This is the last inquiry, actually, for the retreat.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's someone else who hasn't come. If not, you can come again. Let's see. Okay, please come. Welcome.
Thanks. The question is about my son. He's my eldest, he's 8 years old. And as the eldest sons go, I see much of myself in him, and I love him very much. And the issue that I want to speak about it is he's overweight. And for his age this is the issue I have with him. The question is how to approach it, because I want to do it in a way that won't hurt him, won't let him feel that he's not loved or not, that his body is not good enough for, because well, when I look at him, I see a little bit of myself when I was his age and had the same problem. So it's tough approaching it, because usually what comes up is some kind of anger or annoyance with the situation, because it hurts me. It hurts me to see himself like that.
So who's annoyed, you or him?
I'm annoyed. I'm feeling distressed over looking at him and seeing him like that.
Okay. So when you were 8, were you also overweight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And what thoughts and feelings did you have about that?
I wasn't aware of it. I was aware that I'm a little different. Mm-hmm. I was aware that I'm not as anyone else. I didn't call myself fat, but I was aware of my body.
Did other children call you fat?
No.
Okay. Lucky you. Okay. So, you're overweight, but not to the point where you were teased at school or where it became problematic for you or for anybody else. And then rather naturally, what happened?
I don't know, it was something that as a teenager, as a boy, I always had this self-consciousness of my body, that, and someday I changed it.
Okay, so as a teenager, the eye landed on the body, mm-hmm. and disapproved.
Yeah.
And so there were feelings of what, hurt around it, or disappointment?
Of hurt, I think, of being looked at a little bit, yeah.
And being seen as what?
As overweight. Mm. As.
Mm. Okay. Yes. So your memory of the past is that these thoughts, I'm overweight, I look this particular size, is associated with hurt. So when you see your son, who has the same kind of, you know, genetic inheritance.
Pull him.
Hmm?
Pull him.
Yeah. So your heart goes to him, but your actions and thoughts and feelings about it are colored by your own past.
Yeah. I see.
Okay. So how can you respond to the present situation with your son without the hurt of yesterday, without the mixed feelings that you have about it? Because you said when you respond to him, you're angry, you're annoyed, you're irritated. Okay. So, over to you.
I think it's like I heard the other day in the inquiry that you close your heart to not get hurt by seeing him.
Mm.
And by doing that, I reflect to him only the opposite. I reflect to him that he's not good enough, of course.
Yes.
I know.
Yes. Yes. So the very message you don't want to give him, you're giving him.
Yeah, I know.
Because of your own past. Okay. The first step, freedom from the past, clear seeing. Okay, so it's unhooking the I from the 8-year-old child you were. Because actually there is no child. You're now here. There is no inner child. I'm sorry to say. Sometimes we have experiences, you know, as I've heard since I've been on retreat, where we meet the hurt child from the past, and there can be some wonderful integration of the child from the past who's been hurt with us now, so that we can feel complete and whole. This is a way of looking at it. This is one way of describing it. But in Dharma language, there is no inner child from the past for you. It's finished. It's gone. Ended.
Yeah.
Okay. Step one. Free yourself from your own pain and entanglement around this issue of what the body looks like. So you have a body, but you're not the body. In truth. We have a body we need to take care of.
And there's the image of the body.
Yes. And the body image is, this body's not big enough, or small enough, or we're too short, too tall, too fat, too thin, too weak, too strong, too fair, too dark. What else?
Yeah.
Come on. This is the story of who we think we are. And so we identify with the body and we say, I am the body. And then we have a view about it. We with the mind of measurement, we say this body isn't good enough, it doesn't measure up. We're not handsome enough, we're not pretty enough, or whatever else. This is the habit of mind, this is our conditioning. So, your response to your son needs not to be bound to your own conditioning, but to be a wise response. So you see your son is overweight for his age. So are we talking obese or just a little bit overweight?
In between.
In between.
Not obese, but more than a little bit.
In Australia we have a huge problem nationally with children being overweight. And one of the great contributing factors is diet and the prevalence of junk food. And although of course certainly in the way that I lived, I fed my children organically grown vegetables and all of that. There are many people who don't do that, and there is a problem with the diet, essentially. So that's the first question. Is there any issue with the diet and the food that your son eats?
Yeah, I think so. He eats a lot of... He doesn't like vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like sports activity.
Okay.
Which is a contributing factor.
Yes.
And I think he enjoys eating. It's some kind of, I don't know, maybe it's something he is like some kind of addiction. It's like passing the time with it, so.
Okay. So sometimes when we're not fully engaged with life, when we're bored, we eat. When there's a difficult emotional problem, sometimes we eat. It's called feeding our feelings. Or we're meant to be studying, but we don't, and we go to the fridge instead. So, the question is, you need to address the general diet to make sure that it's healthy, nutritious food, and provide that. And the more of that you provide, the more you provide the atmosphere where he will try different things and develop healthy tastes. Step one, diet. Next is lifestyle, exercise.
Let me clarify with the translation. Yeah. Diet means zuna, lo dieta.
Okay. What we eat, nutritious food, not restricted diet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the next is lifestyle. He doesn't like exercise. You're going to have to be clever.
Yeah.
Do you exercise with him?
Sometimes we bike together.
Okay. More of that.
Yeah.
What else?
Sometimes we go play basketball.
Okay. More of that. You're going to get very fit.
He likes to swim.
Ah, fantastic. You'll be extremely fit.
Triathlon.
Okay. So, simple encouragement to enjoy doing those things and not too much sitting down, playing computer games, watching TV all day. Yes.
Yeah.
See? Okay. So, normal childhood activity.
Which today is iPad and...
Yeah. So, if the children are becoming overweight because of this, I think we as parents need to act with wisdom. We don't have to force the child to do it, but encourage the child to do it. And if there's joy in swimming and playing basketball together and doing things, suffering naturally it comes about. So, the I, your I, is landing on the role of father. And it's also landing on, I don't know what to do. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. How to engage it, how to relate it.
Any thoughts or insights from what we've said so far about how to relate to your son in this situation?
First thing, not relating to him by being annoyed or angry.
Yes.
And doing it with little steps, with patience. And doing the best I can, I think, because that's the best I can do. by encouraging him to be more active, and maybe by being more active he'll drop the food a little bit.
So to have a cooperative approach with him.
Not to fight.
Yes. Yes, because the more you push and say, you can't have that food, you have to have this food, the more the child's going to rebel. So whatever you do needs to be done with wisdom to change some of the lifestyle factors.
And not bringing up the issue of his weight?
I think it's a very delicate issue.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes be very counterproductive to say to a child, you're overweight and you need to do something about it. I think at 8 years old, this is a really difficult and painful thing to hear. And most likely the response is going to be one of self-hatred. And we do not want to instill that into our children. We do not want the child to feel bad about their body. But we do want the child to be fit and healthy as much as possible. There are also some hormonal factors that influence weight, and as well as genetic factors. But being classified as fat is a very painful experience. It's a very painful experience. I'm speaking from experience. I was a really fat child until I was about 8. I was teased and bullied because of it. And my daughter also. She actually wasn't at all fat, but she was bullied and teased. And so this vulnerability that children have needs to be wisely protected by the parent. So you don't need to come to it with your own issue. You need to find a way of being free from the irritation, hurt and annoyance that you feel about your past, and reacting with clear action and insight, right action. So with clarity, with love, with cooperation, and gradually bringing about some shifts and changes. And the role of parent is not an easy one. What's your feeling? You're looking a little sad right now.
Like you said, it's like being at two fronts at the same time, the front of myself and the front of him, because I need to be aware of what I'm bringing to the situation, what's my baggage of the
yes.
of the past, and and very, very carefully not putting the same baggage on him.
Yes. Yes. So not projecting our own fears and hurt onto our children.
Difficult. Delicate.
Delicate. Yes. Possible.
Yeah.
So it might require a little more clarity, reflection, and wisdom. Take care. And I appreciate the sensitivity to the problem. Thank you. Just sitting quietly together. When we come on retreat, we can touch some wonderful deep levels of love and peace. And we can feel inspired by that. And then the thought can come, what does this tell me about how to live in the world? And how shall I live and what shall I do? All of this is, I think, a really important area for inquiry. And yes, our understanding does need to find expression in the world in a way that relieves the suffering of others. Sometimes when we think about, in this case, what we're going to say to our mother, the eye rather quickly goes to the world of thoughts and the thought of, well, maybe Mum should come and do a retreat as well. I don't know what sort of mum you have, but hey, if I'd said that to my mum, she would never have done it in a million years. So, the I can land in the world of thought and think, I know how to live and I know what's best. So we have to be very careful what we do and really listen to that precious voice of inquiry. And the way to inquire is to place the inquiry question in your heart and wait for a response to come through the whole body. Then it's not something that comes from the head. Then it's a response of, from wisdom, from insight. And this is how we want to meet the world. And what we do and how we express ourselves and how we're engaged in this world is important. And the question, when should we stop looking at ourselves and act in the world, comes from the duality of on the cushion and off the cushion. We have the view that in retreat we have certain experiences, and in life, oh well, things are different in life somehow, in daily life. This duality of in retreat and out of retreat needs to be seen, it's not the truth. It needs to be let go of. Sometimes, at the end of retreats, we talk about integrating our understanding, things like that. Taking our understandings to our life. But actually, this is life. And what we do each day is our life. Whether it's here, with our families, or at work, or any other variation on the theme. We tend to think in terms of either or, this or that. I'll do this and it's right, I'll do that and it's wrong. Deep listening gets us in touch with non-dual wisdom. The wisdom that doesn't come from self and other, this or that. The wisdom of non-duality. The wisdom that emerges when we're not caught up in ourselves. And then the light of wisdom bursts forth. This is what's really worth listening to. And this can inform us about how to live in the world, how to engage in the world, how to engage with others for the benefit of all. With the second inquiry, the role we have as a parent is not an easy one. It's to be loving, it's to be a guide, it's to show some wisdom, and sometimes we have to take the initiative for our children. But we need to do it with clarity, where we're not bound to our own suffering, and then we can see clearly what it is we need to do. How we might relate to the difficult situation, like the one suggested. So sometimes it's even helpful to drop the whole notion of I am the parent, or I am the grown-up who was overweight as a child. And then just look and see, and address all the different areas that need addressing, as we discussed. And also, to be perhaps creative and inventive with how you go about it. Because if you listen inwardly, there'll be a creativity that emerges. And when this creativity is expressed, suffering ceases. On the other hand, when we relate down to our pain, with our anger, with our anxiety, and met with resistance in the other. So we need to find for ourselves a free way of relating. And again, this is the way of wisdom, and the action in the world is clear. Just to sit for a moment to finish. May all beings relate to each other with understanding, freedom and clarity. May all beings act in the world in small ways and big ways to relieve the suffering of all beings. Shine the light of non-dual wisdom. And our relationships based on freedom.